Begin the current daf mesech. The Shabbos daf ayin ches. Begin 7 lines up from the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah and all the different items that Yechayah Foyt saw. And the Mishnah said, Mayim regarding water, kedei loshav behenes akila, the chiv of Itzah. Again, as we mentioned previously, that the chiv of Itzah for all these different food items or other things are necessary for what they're used for. That's the minimum amount that it's going to be considered significant to Yechayah Foyt saw. So the minimum amount for water would be that if for it to be mixed with this keeler ointment, with his what's used for the eyes as a salve, as a healing, that's the minimum necessary for water. So the Gemara discusses this now and explains why this is the minimum that's necessary for water, as the Gemara says, Amabai, Mechti, let us see. Kol milsa de shchicha b'lo yishchicha. Regarding anything that its common usage is one way, and it's another way is not so common for it to be used. So then the Rabbanan went regarding the thing that's more common, even though it's more lenient. And that is regarding all the different shirim that the Chum made for Shabbos, and that it's fit for two different things. One is commonly used like that, and one is not commonly used. So then the Rabbanan went after the measurement that's more common, even if it's a very lenient thing, because it has a large measurement. Still, they said that's generally what it's used for. And we don't say that since it's also fit for that other thing, which is a very small shir, that you're going to go after that shir l'chumra, even though it's not common. That's not true. We go after the thing that's more common. That's what would be considered its share for the chi, for example, of haitzah. Something that's shchicha b'shchicha. We're going to something that's common and common. That is, both items are common. Then az rabban bas the shchicha l'chum. Then they go after the thing that's also common, regarding the one that's the more stringent one of the two. That's since they're both common, so then we're going to go with the smaller measurement. So the Gemara brings examples from our Mishnah. So therefore, and this is what Abaye is getting to his point. Regarding yayin, wine, shtiyaster shchicha, regarding drinking it, that's something that's commonly used. Refuasi l'shchicha, for healing purposes, that's not so common. That is, for example, if you wanted to take wine and mix it with this keeler ointment, that although it's fit for it, but since you can use it with, let's say, the milk of a woman, which is, and you could use it with water, so therefore people are more careful with wine, that's something that's it's very expensive and it's more precious. So therefore, it's not so common to use it for the keeler, for the ointment, for the eyes. So therefore, since what's common is the drinking and not so common is the healing, so therefore, for the shir necessary for the haitzah of wine, they went after the drinking, which is the more common of the two, which was more cooler, leniently. And that is, as we said, that's the amount that's necessary for the diluting a cup of wine. That's a quarter of a viz. And that although that's more lenient, that's larger than the shir, much larger than the shir of mixing it for the ointment of the keeler, still we went after that shir because that's what's more common and that's the minimum necessary for the haitzah of wine. Regarding chalav, we said in our Mishnah, regarding milk, eating, drinking milk is more common. Refuasu l'shchicha, and also the healing purposes of milk is also not so common. So therefore, azu rabban basa achilasu l'kula. So therefore, the rabban went after the eating properties of milk, and that's l'kula. And as we said, that milk is also fit for eating and also fit for using for this keeler ointment. But that's not so common because you could also use water for the keeler ointment. And since it can be used for water, which is more common and obviously cheaper, so the Rabban go after milk regarding its eating and its consumption properties, which is, as we said in the Mishnah, that's kedei gemi, the amount of a swallow, even though that's definitely more lenient, much larger than the amount necessary for the small little salve that goes in the eyes. Again, since that's the more common, therefore we go after the eating, not after the refuah. Devash, regarding honey, we said, achilase shchicha, refuase shchicha. By honey, both consumption is common and healing is common. That is because there's no other beverage that's fit to use for the sore, the cussus that only honey could use for. So therefore, az rabbanan basar for us l'chum. Therefore, the rabbanan went after the healing properties stringently, and they said since they're both common, we go after l'chum that you need to have even the smaller shear of the cussus. However, Abai gets this question now. Elamai mechti, but let's see about water. Shtiyase shchicha, refuasi loy shchicha. The drinking of water obviously is very common. That's what most people in the world drink. However, the healing properties of water is not so common because there's many other beverages that are fit to use for the keeler and that you can mix it with any beverage that you want. So therefore, the drinking of water is more common because, again, most people, what they drink is water. And most people don't drink wine for their thirst. They only drink wine by their meals. So what else are they drinking? They're drinking water. And therefore, my time of rabbanan basar for us l'chumah. So why did, as we see in our Mishnah, which what we just quoted, the rabbanan go after the healing properties of water, that when it could be mixed with the keeler, l'chumra, which is much smaller than the amount of water that's necessary for drinking. And therefore, it should be according to the same lines that we set up until now, that what's common, we go after, not what's not common. And since there's so many beverages, it can be used for the keeler, and only really one beverage for drinking, which is water that's the majority of what a person's drinking is, that's more common than the refuah. So why are we machmer like refuah? So the Gemara gives a few terutz. Amar Abaya, Begalilashan, the first test the Gemara brings is that we're talking about in the Galilee, which is different. Because there they were very poor. And they were very makbid on anything, very small amounts. So therefore they were very careful and very concerned about their wine or their milk, that they're not going to mix it with tequila, they only would use water. And therefore, even for the healing purposes of tequila, it's also common water, just like the drinking. And therefore, you have to go lechumer because the only thing really that they mixed with this tequila was water, not the other beverages, because they were very careful, because they were very poor. Secretary of Zigmar brings his Rava Amar, Afilatame Bishamakamis. We could even say it's talking about not only in the Galilee, even other places. However, if it's other places, why don't we say that it's common to heal? You can use all the beverages for this tequila. So Gemara says no, because really, in essence, everywhere they really only use water for the kilo. Even though you could use other beverages, Kedishmul, Damashmul Koshak Yone Masu. It's true that all liquids cure when it's mixed together with the kilo, it could be used. However, Umetale, but it covers over the eyes. That is, it ultimately prevents the eye from seeing until you totally can't see because it's very thick, these beverages, and it makes a crust over, like almost like glue over the eyes, and therefore, that's not so optimum. Except for water that it heals and it doesn't crust over the eyes. And that's the best of all of them because it gets absorbed right away or dries right away and therefore doesn't crust over the eye and therefore that even in other places it is more common even for the healer to use water and not the other beverages since they're both tchiach, the drinking of water and the healing purposes of water. So therefore, as we said, that when it's shchicha and shchicha, you're going to go after the shchicha l'chum, and that's why we said that the shea of water is not drinking, rather the smaller measurement, the more chomer de geshita, of mixing it together with the tequila ointment for the eye. So then the Mishnah continued, b'shar kol maskim revias, all other beverages that we didn't mention, that were exceptions regarding milk and wine and water, they're all a revias of, that's around 3.5 ounces to 5 ounces, that's the shea for all beverages. So turn upon within the braisa, regarding dam, blood, v'chomini mashkin b'revias. Blood and all beverages are revias. That is that the Tanakhama considers blood like all the other beverages. However, Shimon Laza argues and he says, Shimon Laza oimer, dam kedei likhu ba'ayinachas, that blood is different, that it should be enough that can be used as an application for one eye. And that is, why is that a smaller share than all other beverages? Shekin koichlin lebirkis, because that's how it's applied for birkis. That's a speck that protrudes from the eye. And therefore, since blood helps for that, therefore it's considered that even a smaller amount of measurement, as we found by all the other beverages, that they have exceptions if they're used for something specific. And the Gemara has to mind in what type of blood is used as an application for this birkas, the speck that comes out of the eye. Dama de tana goylis bar, it's the blood of a wild hen. Pshimim lilaim, he says a similar halacha, but for a different reason, he says, dam kede likul by ayin achas, that blood is enough for that, can be used as an application for one eye. Sister King Koichlin the Liyard, because that's how they use an application for cataract. Uminin, and what blood is used for cataracts? Dama the Krushtina is the blood of a mole. And the Gemara says, Vesamnecha, interesting to know which Tana said what, in other words, what blood is used for what type of eye ailment. They both agree that it's enough for one application for the eye, but the question is, for which blood, for which type of ailment? Gava legava, the one that's the inner is for the inner one, and that is because the moles are found inside the development where people live. And that's the inner one is for what's inside the eye. That's the cataract which is inside the eye. Vara levara, the outer one for the outer one, and that is the blood of the wild hen which is outside, does not live in amongst the people. That's for the outer one, that's again for the speck that sticks out. That's the simon of, that's the mnemonic to remember of gava legava, the inner for the inner and the outer for the outer. And that is the inner type of animal is used for the inner type of ailment for the eye, and the outer type of animal is used for the outer ailment of the eye. So the Braisa continues and says, when did we say this regarding all these different measurements of these beverages for the Shea of Eitzah? That's b'moitzi. When did we say that you need to have a measurement? That's when you're taking it out into Rosh Hasharab. Av b'matznia, but regarding someone that stores it and then he takes it out, kol shu chayav, then even for even a minute amount, you're going to be liable for Eitzah and Shabbos. The Gemara later is going to ask, what do you mean? Isn't someone that stores it also only chayav when he's moitzi, when he takes it out? So what does that mean that that's only for taking out, but when you're storing it, that it's even smaller amount, it doesn't need a revius or whatever it is, or even less than a shear of a quarter of revius for yayin or whatever. It's the same thing. It's talking about taking out. Shimon argues on this, and he says to the contrary. He says, when did we say that you'll even be liable for the different shirim that we mentioned in our Mishnah? That's b'matzniyah. That's only for someone that concealed it for this amount, and then he took it out, then you're going to be chayiv. And that is, let's say, wine for a quarter of a vias, or for milk, the amount of swallowing. He says, that's only if you actually stored it and you considered it chashiv. But someone that takes it out, if he didn't store this amount of wine or milk, and then he took it out, then ain't a chayiv al revias, then he's not liable only for revias. And that is the question, is what status quo? That what is the general premise? And that is, Reb Shimon holds that the general is that it has to be revias. This that we're saying all these different shiurim, even smaller than that, is only if someone that stored it. Versus the Tana Kama holds that no, that Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that if it's someone, if these shiurim are even stam, even without a person having specific intent. And if some of that specific intent would be even smaller than that, whereas Reb Shimon would hold that no, that these are the minimum rock bottom that it could be, let's say milk the amount for a swallow. But even, and that's only for someone that actually hit it. But less than that, you're never going to have a shay that you're going to be chayv. So now the Gemara says that Umaydim Chacham Reb Shimon, Bemaytzi Shayfchen Ushasram Shishrim Revias. However, although Reb Shimon is the one that says that generally all these beverages are revias, and it's only someone that conceals them that then will have, let's say, wine as revias, a quarter of a revias, or milk the amount of a swallow, but generally it's always going to be revias. The Chacham agreed to him regarding water, wastewater, that there the shear is going to be revias, because that a person that didn't conceal it, the minimum is going to be revias, and less than that is not fit for using, as the Gemara is going to say later, because that's the amount that's usually used to go ahead and knead clay out of it, out of that wastewater, because what else is wastewater used for? So that, again, that's the machlokes we have between Reb Shimon ben Elazar and Reb Shimon regarding these different shiurim that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Are they the thing that's generally the shear, and that is milk for a swallow, wine for a quarter of a revias that it can be used and mixed again, and that is even for someone that didn't hide it, but if you hit it, it could be even just even a small amount because that's for you considered chashav. Or like Reb Shimon says that no, a regular person, everything is revias. All these different measurements we're saying with wine and milk, that they're different, is for someone that went ahead and he concealed it, that he can make it chash for himself. But less than that will never be considered someone that's considered chash. So the Gemara goes back and explains this machlokes. The Tanakam had said, but when we say that these shiurim of wine and milk, that we said is b'moitzi, by someone that takes it out of a b'metzniya kosher, but someone that hides it, then it's even a small amount can be considered chash of him. So the Gemara asks, very simply, isn't someone that's hiding also taking it out? In other words, you only chayiv if ultimately you take it out. So what does it mean? That's for hoitza, but this is for matzniya, for hiding. What do you mean? This is also hoitza. You're only going, yes, you hide it, but then you take it out. So what does it mean that it's as if it's not hoitza? So you have to understand the terminology of matzniya and moitzi as follows. I'm Abaye. He was talking about a student, for example, a blacksmith's assistant. Sha'omale Rabbi, that his master tells him, Leicha paneli hamokam l'suda, go ahead, clean me this area for a meal. And he's taking everything out. Holucha paneli goes out and clears it out. And he takes it out into a different domain, into Rosh Hashanah. Dava chashav lakol, something that's chashav for everybody. So then, chayiv iluya, then he's going to be liable on it, even if his master didn't go ahead and conceal it and store it for this specific purpose. And that's as we said before, that these are things that the shiurim are, if everybody used like this, wine a quarter of a revias or milk, the way of a swallow, this is chash of everybody, that you're going to be chayiv even if your master didn't conceal it, that's considered the haitza. Davar she'ein chash of lakol, something that's not fit for everybody, if his master went ahead and stored it for that purpose, then he's going to be liable for it, but if not, loy mechayiv is not going to be liable for it. And the way it has to be understood is as follows. When we said b'medevu mamurim, that when are we talking about that you need to have the shiurim that we mentioned, that we said that's b'maitzi, in other words, what that's trying to say is that then you only have to go after the maitzi, after the one that's taking it out. In other words, in the machshava, that's tully in the one that's taking it out, and that is if regular people, even not someone that concealed it, that stored it, would take it out, would that it be considered chashavim? As we said, that a quarter of a vias of wine or a swallow of milk, since everybody considers that something chashav. So that's what we say, that's medvamurim b'maitzi, that's even dependent on the one who's taking it out. But we said, aval b'matzni, when we said regarding the one that stores it, what we meant to say was, however, regarding something that you have to go after the machshava, after the thought process of the one who stored it, for example, if someone that stores even a minute amount, then you're going to have this one who takes it out to be chayiv. And that's because this is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who's saying this. And he's going to shaitas, as we said in the previous parak, that something that's not concealed generally, this thing, but this person says he wants to go ahead and store it, even though it's a very small amount, that then someone else will be chayiv in this person's machshava, and that since for this person it's considered chashav, although for me it's not generally, but he made it already chashav because he says, I like this even a small amount. Now when I go ahead and do Eitzah, it's going to be considered Eitzah and Shabbos. So therefore this student, what we meant to say was, that's only b'maitzi, that it needs all the shiurim. That's because that's for the general populace. But for someone that goes ahead and he stores it, even though it's much less than the regular people, that will be even a kolshu, that will be even a minute amount. That's why we say it in that terminology. But of course, it's regarding the halacha of Eitzah. It's just between two different people. One that's totally in the moitzi, in the regular person that takes it out, not someone that stored it. And then you have something even less than the shroom that we mentioned in our Mishnah, even minute amount, that's totally in the matzni, and the one that goes ahead and stores it. So then the end of the brisa says, Amamar, we said over there that moidim chacham the Reb Shimon, the chacham agreed to Reb Shimon, that although that they have these different shiurim for wine and for milk, and they don't agree to Reb Shimon that everything is a revius, however, they agree, b'maitzi shreifach in the shus rabim, shishurim revius. That when you take out wastewater into the shus rabim, then they agree that unless if you had an intent for less than that, that the general shir will be, the stam shir will be a revius. So the Gemara asks, but shreifach l'may chazi, what is wastewater fit for that even the revius of water, it shouldn't be considered significant, that it should be considered a haitzah on Shabbos? So Amabiyam Yom Ligabal Benesatit. It's fit to knead with it clay. That is, although you're not drinking or consuming this wastewater, but since you could go ahead and knead it with clay, therefore it's considered a shir of Eitzah with revius. Then the Gemara asks, but time we learned the Braisa, you're saying that the wastewater is used for clay. But we learn regarding clay, we learn tit, Kedilasa ben Pikor. What is the shir of Eitzah on clay? That's the amount to make an opening of a crucible, which that's a type of a box that contains metals that are melting down. It's a hot fire inside. Therefore, we said that the amount of clay necessary is that it can be used for the opening of the crucible. That's the little hole where they have the blower that's blowing over there. That's a very small amount. And from a revius of wastewater, you can make a lot more clay than that. And since the shir of Eitzah of clay is very small, it's only the amount necessary to make the whole of this crucible. So therefore, you should be chai for the Eitzah of wastewater even less than the revius. Because to make the amount of clay necessary, that to make the pikur, the opening of that crucible, is very little. And you need much less than the revius of water. So since the whole purpose of the wastewater is that you can make clay out of it, and the whole purpose of clay is for it to be chashva, that can make the pikur. So therefore, since the pikur is very small, so the wastewater should be much less than the revius also. Why do you need that much water to be chai for the shir of Eitzah of the wastewater, if you're saying the idea is to be able to make clay, and clay is to make the pikur, which is much less than needing a revius of water. So the Gemara says, loy kasha. It's not difficult, because hod megabel, the brisa, the second brisa that we quoted that says that the amount of clay is for the opening of the kur, is because we're talking about clay that's already needed. And therefore, clay that's needed, even a small amount of clay is chashiv, because it can be used for the opening, for the mouth of the kur. Hod le megabel. Here we're talking about the wastewater is that it wasn't needed yet. And therefore, since it wasn't needed, it's not going to be have the shear of a small share of pikur. And the reason is, lafisha einodim tereich legabel tit lasa pikur. A person's not going to go through the effort to go ahead and knead clay to just have the amount to be used for the opening of the crucible. And that is, if he's going to make clay, he's going to make a lot more clay. And therefore, the shear of itself, wastewater, is only usable for making clay. So though clay, even a small amount, is chashiv, but if you're going to make clay, you're going to make much more than that, and therefore the share of wastewater is not less than revius, because less than revius of water, a person's not going to go through the effort to make the clay. Although less clay than that, he would use and would be considered chashiv for Eitzah and Shabbos. Now we begin the next mishnah, which continues regarding the different shiurim, the measurements of Eitzah and Shabbos. Hamotzi chevel, someone that takes out a rope on Shabbos, that, what's the minimum measurement to be considered at a significant Eitzah? They lost his oiz in the kupa to make a handle for a basket, that is to be able to hold onto the basket, that's the shir of Eitzah. Gemi, regarding a reed grass, they lost his talai lenafu lechvar, that's to make a hanging loop for a sifter and for a sieve, that is where you hang it on, that is the shir for a reed grass, that if you could make now a loop for it to hang these different kalim on, that's the shir of Eitzah for that. Rehuda argues, Rehuda oimer, because they lead to mimenu midas minal lekatan, to take the measurement of the shoe size of a child. That is, you go to the shoe store, to the shoemaker, and you say, look, this size I need of a shoe. That's the shear of a regress to be chayav for the Eitzah and Shabbos. Then the Mishnah continues, Nyar, regarding paper, which they would make their papers out of grass, That the shear is kedei lichtiv olav keshem muhsin, the size that could be written on the receipt of the tax collectors. And that is, you would have a person that gives to the tax collector, or let's say by the river, or somewhere by the tolls you have to go, and you pay him, or that he says it's okay, you don't have to. So he writes him over there, and he shows that this person paid already, that he doesn't have to pay. And the way they used to do is they used to write two letters, which were larger than our letters. So if you have that size of the receipt of the tax collectors, again, or the toll collectors, that is, they would write these two letters, but has that enough to write those two letters, that's the shevitza on the paper. Then the Mishnah says, "Va'amitzi keshem muhsin chayv," and someone that also takes out the receipt of the tax collectors, that itself is also liable for itza on Shabbos. And we continue on to Amud Beis, where Tosis tells us that the reason why I had to tell us that, obviously, if we're saying that the shear of itza of paper is the amount that you could write the tax collector's receipt on it, therefore, obviously, the tax collector receipt itself, you chayv itza on itself, is because that's even, Tosis says, even if it's written on cloth, on parchment, that although we say that the shear of cloth, when that's blank, is to be able to write in it something much more than the receipt of the tax collectors. That's right, a small parasha in Tefillin, which is the parasha of Shema. However, if you did write the tax collector's receipt on even a cloth, even that's going to be considered a shev itzah, even in that small amount. So now the Mishnah continues. That's regarding paper that was clear. However, ner miyachuk, regarding a paper that was erased, and once it's erased, you can't write in it again, and therefore you need a much larger amount than just writing the two letters of the tax collectors. So then it has to be the size, that it can be used to wrap around the mouth of a small flask of balsam oil, which is much larger, since now that paper could be used for that purpose, that would be considered chashav, and then it would be considered haitzah if you take that out. Regarding the shear of haitzah of hide, that's k'day lasis kameh, to make an amulet out of it, that they would make it out of hide, that's the smallest shear that can be considered something chashav. Kalaf regarding parchment, k'day lichtav alav parsha k'tanah shebetfilin, that's enough to write the smallest parsha of the four parshas in the Tefillin. Shehi Shema Yisrael, the smallest one of the four parshas of Tefillin is the parsha of Shema Yisrael. Dioi, regarding, and the reason why by cloth, that's the shear, is because since parchment is very expensive, they're not going to make out of it a receipt of a tax collector's. The only thing they're going to use for parchment is Tefillin and mezuzahs, and therefore you're not chayiv for such a small shear as the keshei muhsin, as the tax collector's receipt, rather only if it at least the size of, as we said before, something that's common usage, which is to use for tefillin and mezuzahs. Therefore, the smallest parsha is the parsha of Shema Yisrael. D'yoy, regarding the use of ink, k'dei lichtav beizos, if you have enough ink to write two letters, that would be that when are you writing two letters? Let's say you write on two different parts of one vessel, or on two different parts, let's say by the sukkah, people write one, two, three, four, so to match them up. So enough to write two letters, that's considered a chashav amount of ink to be chayv on itzan. K'chol, regarding eye paint, is k'dei likchol ayin achas, enough to paint one eye. And this is the makeup they would use, and the Gemara later is going to ask, what do you mean? Women don't usually paint one eye, they use makeup on both eyes, not on one eye. But then the Gemara is going to explain why it'll be considered haitzah even enough to paint one eye. Regarding devik, glue, k'dei litim bereish hashashav, enough to put on the top of a board. The Gemara is going to explain which board are we putting glue on, that we say you have to have enough glue for that board. Zephis for guffers, regarding the itzah of pitch and sulfur, could they lost his neck of enough to make a hole afterwards? And that is when they would have a vessel that they would put mercury in, and they would close the opening with either pitch or sulfur, and then they would make a hole, a small little hole, to be able to take out the mercury. So enough pitch and sulfur that after you put it on, you can make a hole in that. That's the amount that's going to be considered a chashav itzah on Shabbos. Shavu, regarding wax, k'dei litin al pi nekev katan. That's the amount that then you put on the small little hole opening. That is, after you have the hole, then you have to close it up so to be able to take it off. The amount of wax that can be used to cover up, that's considered a chash bashir of itzah on Shabbos. Regarding charsis, that's crushed brick, k'dei lasis pikur shel tzayir feizav. That's the amount to be able to make the opening of a crucible of the refiners of gold. That is, that's the hole where the blowers would go in over there. Enough crushed brick that you make the opening, that's the amount of itzah of Shabbos. Rebbe Yehuda says, no, k'dei lasis pitput, the amount to make a tripod. And that's the leg that they would use to hold up this crucible. That tripod is the amount of the itzah of crushed brick on Shabbos. Subin, regarding the itzah of bran, k'dei litin al pikur shel tzayir feizav, that's the amount that's to be put on the opening of the crucible of those who refine the gold. And that is because sometimes they couldn't find coals, so then the refiners of gold would use the flames of bran. That's why that's the minimum necessary for the tzah of bran on Shabbos. Regarding sid lime, so there's a few different pshatim. There's three pshatim in the Mishnah what the minimum shear of lime is. The first pshat is they lost ketanish abebanis. It's enough to smear the lime on the smallest limb of a little girl, and that they would smear the girl with lime to take off her hair. The second pshat is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, they lost his kilkel to make the temple hair flat. They would use lime to do that. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, they lost in deepi enough to smear the forehead. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly these undipi and kilkul are, and regarding this machlek is about this the shear of sid of lime that would be the minimum amount for hitzah and Shabbos. So now the Gemara discusses the first case that we said. We said chevel, the amount of a rope is enough to make the handle for a basket. So the Gemara asks chevel nami l'chayiv should also be considered liable, even a smaller amount, because it's also fit kedei lasa tloy l'nafa l'chvara, that if it could be used as a hanging loop for the sifter and the sieve. That is, that loop is only a little thing you have to hang it on. That's smaller than making a handle for a basket. So rope is also fit to be used for the loop, for the sifter and for the sieve that it could hang on. So why isn't it chayiv even for that smaller shear? So someone says, no, it's not fit for it. Even the chorik b'mona, since it cuts into the vessel, because it's something that's very hard, so it dents the wood that the vessels are made from, so lo yavdi inshir, so people don't make that hanging loop out of rope. And that's why it's only with the larger share of making a handle for a basket, not a hanging loop for the sifter and the sieve. So the Gemara discusses other items not mentioned in our Mishnah for the share of itzah of them. Talking about Melinda the Brisa, Hutzin regarding palm fronds, k'delasis oizin l'sal kafif mitzvahs, enough to make a handle for a basket made out of palm bark. Sieve regarding palm bast, and this is something that grows around the tree, almost like a clothing of the tree, and it wraps itself around the tree and it goes up. Acherim oimrim k'delit napi mashbech katna, it's enough to put on the opening of a small funnel. L'sanen esayayin, to strain out the wine. And that is that will hold back the pieces and the flour-like pieces that are in the wine from going into the kli, so that we sift it out with this the piece from the vine. That would be that would have, it would be porous, but it would keep back all the different pieces from the wine. That's the shear necessary to use for this palm bast. Regarding the shear of revav of grease, that's either fats or oil, that's enough to smear under a small wafer. And how? What's the shear? What type of wafer are we talking about? That it's the type of wafer that they put into the oven and they would smear the bottom of it with the alia, with the fats of the tail. What's that shear? Kasella. So it says that we're talking about the size of a wafer. That's a sella. So Gemara says Batanika grace, but we learned in the Braisa that the shear for the wafer is a gregor. So Gemara says Idvidichatshur. It's the same shear. Sella and gregoris and the dried fig are the same shear. That size wafer, how much grease is necessary to smear that, that's the amount of itzah on Shabbos. So Bryce continues, Muchen regarding cotton. K'delas is kadur katan, enough to make a small ball for kamashir. And what's that shear? That's keg, is the size of a nut. That would be considered the shear of itzah of chashav of cotton on Shabbos. So now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Nia, regarding paper. We say, K'del lichtav alav kesha muchsin, enough to write the receipt of the tax collectors or the toll collectors. That would be considered, these two letters that they're writing, that would be considered Haitzah on Shabbos for the paper. So the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates. Tanya, we learn the brisa. Kama kesha muksin. How large is the receipt of the tax collectors to be considered that paper will be considered Haitzah, that you could use it to write on it this receipt? So the Gemara brings, shtei oisiyas, and our words missing that's brought in the Gilyan, b'ksav yevani, two letters with the Greek letterings, which are larger than our regular letterings. That's the share of the letters, these two letters, which that's what size paper would necessary for it to be considered Haitzah, that you could write on it the receipt of the tax collectors, that's considered a chash of a piece of paper. But Gemara asks, Reminu, we learned, Hamoitzin Yerachalok, someone finds a blank piece of paper that was never written on. So, Im Yeshbe Kedei Lichtav Shtei Ois Yischayiv. So if it has enough to have two letters written in it, then you're liable. And now the Gemara thinks it means our regular letters, which are smaller than the Greek letters. Vimlav pater, not yet pater. So how can we say that we're explaining them our Mishnah, that in Yer, a paper, will be liable if you can write the receipt of tax collectors, which we're saying are two Greek letters, which are much larger than our two letters. And yet, here we have a price that says it's enough to be chayv for a blank piece of paper if it's enough to write two letters, which Pashtus is, that it's even our letters, which are smaller than the Greek letters. So the Gemara brings a few terutzim. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, my shtei oisis, what are these two letters? Shtei oisis shokesh muchsin, you write, it's the same teretz. When we said in the Brisa, when you find this blank piece of paper enough to write two letters, it means two letters of the receipt of the tax collectors, which are Greek letters, and therefore it's the same share as our Mishnah. The secretary of the Gemara brings Rava Amar. No, shtei oisis tedan. The Brisa is talking about, you're right, as the Pashtus, as it makes, as it would seem to say, our two regular letters. Ubeis achiza, but also needs also the place we can hold on to it. Dehainu keshemuchsin, that's the same size as the receipt of a tax collector's, because the receipt of a tax collector doesn't need to have the edge over there, the gillion, the margin to hold on to, because you hold on to the whole thing in your palm and you show it like this, open, and therefore you don't need to have a margin. So therefore, the size of our two letters with a margin is the same shear as our Mishnah, which says the two large letters of the Greek two letters, which is the receipt, because that fills up the whole paper, and therefore that's the same shear. Of the Gemara's Meisah, the Gemara's, according to this interpretation of Rava, we learned how Moitzi in Yom Moch, someone that takes out an erased piece of paper, Bishtapuru, or paid document, again, where these two things are things that cannot be used for writing. So then, Im Yesh Baloy Ben Shaloy, if there is on the white of that paper, that means the margin, then if it has enough, Kedei Lichtav Shtei Yosis, to write two letters, so that would be enough for Haitza. Oy Bekula, or for the whole paper, including even the erased part or the written part, that it can be used to wrap around this small little flask of balsam oil, then you're going to be chayv. Again, either because you have in the blank part, in the margin that you could write two letters, that's the smaller share of blank paper, or even with all the paper, which you can't write on it, but it's enough to wrap around this flask, either way, so then you'll be chayv. If not, you'll be exempt. So now the Gemara develops this question. When he explained the Brisa, says, what are these two letters? He says, Shtei Oisis Shtol Kesh HaMuchsin. It means the two letters of the receipt of a tax collector as our Mishnah. And then Shapa, then it makes sense that this blank piece of paper, but regarding the margin, they were told, if it has enough for two letters, it means the two letters of the Greek two letters, which is the same share of a Kesh HaMuchsin. El L'Rava Dama Shtei Oisis Didan. But according to Rav, that says that when we say, generally, when we find the Brisa, it says enough to write two letters, it means our two letters, which are smaller. But it means also that you have to have a beis achiz, a place where to hold on to it. That's just obvious. And therefore, then you're going to have the same shear as the Greek two letters, which is much larger, because there you don't have to have a margin to hold on to it. So, and as he said, the hainu keshem muhsin, which is the same as we said as the receipt of the tax collectors. So hacha beis achiz leitzarech. But here you don't have the necessary next step. Here you don't need to have a place to hold on to, because you could hold on to the whole place which is erased, or the place of the document which is written onto, and then you have the margin which you could write on and you could use as the writing. And therefore, here you don't have the logical sequence of saying that, yes, you need two letters, and obviously you have a place to have to hold on to it. Then it's going to be the same size as the Kesher Shel Muchsin, because here you could hold on to the written part or the erased part, and therefore when we say you have enough to write two letters, that's going to be smaller than the Kesher Shel Muchsin, because the Greek letters are larger, and there you don't have to have a margin, but here you're not having a margin either, because you're having the place where it's written, and then you can't fill the space of the Greek letters. Now the Gemara says, Kasher, it seems to be difficult, according to Rava, how he would resolve this question. Now the Gemara continues discussing, now that we mentioned the Shchiv of Haitzah, of the Kesher Shel Muchsin, of the receipt of the document, of the tax collectors, of the toll collectors. Turn by learning the Brisa. Hamoitzi Kesher Muchsin. Someone that takes out from one domain to another domain on Shabbos a receipt of a tax collector. So, if it was never shown to the tax collector yet, so then he's liable, because he still has to use it as a way of exempting himself. However, if it was already shown to the tax collector, then he's going to be potter, because he already saw, he already forgave him. In other words, let's say he's coming to the tolls, he already showed, he doesn't have to show it to him anymore, so it's not fit for anything anymore. So therefore, this receipt, our Mishnah was talking about a blank piece of paper that could be used for that. So that's always going to be chayav. But here, when you have the actual receipt, that's only if it can still be used. Once it's used, it's no point, no worth. So therefore, then it's going to be potter for itzah, because it's not chashav anymore. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, no. Af mishiro l'meiches chayav. Even once it was shown to the tax collector, you're still going to be liable for itzah for that receipt on Shabbos. And they should certainly, because you still need it. So Gemara's my benai. What's between them? In other words, what are they arguing about? What for? What purpose does Rabbi Yehuda hold that you need to have the receipt? It was already used. So the Gemara brings three pshatim. Amabaya. Ikbenayu, the difference between them is rehiti muhsa. It's the runner. It's the collector's runners. That is, they would run after those that were passing by the toll or the border to say, hey, hold on, you didn't pay the toll. And it would be very challenging for those who are passing by to have to go back to the tax collector. So therefore, they would go ahead and take this receipt and keep it by them to show to the other ones. That's why Rehuda holds that you need it. But the Tamako held that you don't have to, the people would not hold on to the receipts, because even if these runs were after them, so they would just come back and say, hey, oh yeah, him, he paid already. So therefore, that's the machlik, is if you need it, even once it was paid. Second pshat the Gemara brings is Rava Amar, Moichis Gadol or Moichis Kad Egebenai. The difference is we're talking about a case when there's a big collector and a small collector. That is, sometimes there was the head guy in charge, the main guy who was collecting. But it was very difficult for him to stand on the bridge the whole day. So he would go ahead and make someone underling to him to go ahead and be in charge. So this person that paid and has the receipt, he originally showed his receipt from the king, this that he paid, only to the one in charge. According to Behuda, you still need to hold on to it, because you have the small guy that when he's not going to let you pass by, because I don't know that you paid. But according to Tanakami, you don't need the receipt, because the head one in charge will give him some type of a keyword, some type of a simon, and he'll tell that to the one right there by the bridge, and he'll be able to pass. Therefore, Tanakami holds, you don't have to have it, versus Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, you need to hold on to the receipt, because you won't get a password, and you'll have to show it to the one there actually by the bridge to get by. Third pshat the Gemara brings, Rav Ashi Amar, Chad Mochas Ekebenayu. We're talking about that, no, there is only one tax collector. There's no runners. There's no head guy and someone underneath. So why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that you need to hold on to it if you already used it already? So he said that's for a different reason. And they should tzoruch le'laharis le'moiches sheni, because you needed to show to a second tax collector. In other words, for a different bridge, for a different toll, not to exempt yourself from this toll, rather to show that, as the Gemara says, d'amalei chazi gavur de'moiches ana. You should see that I'm someone that pays tolls, that I'm someone that's trustworthy. I'm not going to try to escape from the taxes or the tolls that you should try to say, oh, afterwards you didn't really pay. It's like someone that keeps his tax records. He shows that, look, I'm trustworthy. If you're trying to prosecute me or show me, I'm showing you that I'm someone that keeps the law, and therefore that's why someone would hold on to his receipts. Although for this bridge, there's no point in them. It's for the next later ones to show that, hey, look at all these receipts. I'm someone that's trustworthy. Don't try to show that I didn't pay my tolls. A similar machloek is the Gemara brings a brayis to turn up on. Someone that takes out, he does hitzah, he brings from one domain to another domain on Shabbos of a loan document. So a similar type of a difference. Actually, paru chayiv, until it was paid, so then you're liable, because then the loan document has purpose. It's not void yet, and therefore it's not paid. It's something chashiv. Mishapari pata, but it was already paid up, so it's not worth anything. So then it's going to be exempt, because it's just a piece of paper. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if it's paid up already, you're still liable, because you still need the loan document, and therefore it's considered chashiv even once it's paid. So you might ask, my benai, what's the difference between them? In other words, what are they arguing about? What would be the reasoning for each one to say that you do need it or that you don't need it? So here the Gemara brings four pshat in what their machlekes is regarding. Rav Yisus says, the machlekes is if, also lisha shtar perua ikibinai, if there's a prohibition of holding on to a paid up document already. It's a paid up loan. That's because there's a pasuk in Eve that says, Atishkin Balacha Avli. You're not supposed to hold on to something that's forbidden, that can be used for forbidden purposes. And therefore, the loaner is not going to hold on to it to use to, let's say, wrap around his flask, because it's prohibition for him to hold on to it. That would be the problem if you held that it's forbidden to hold on to a paid up document. And the levy is also not going to hold on to it, because maybe it's ultimately going to get lost and it's going to fall into the hands of the malva. And then he's going to go ahead and then try to go to court again and get his money from him. So therefore, it's not considered something that's chashiv if you hold that it's forbidden to hold on to a paid up document. As the Gemara says, Rabban Savri, also lishish tapuri, not allowed to hold on to a paid up document. And therefore, again, the loaner is not allowed to hold on to it to use, let's say, for some mundane purpose of covering his flask, because it's forbidden for him to hold on to it, because it can be used for something wrong by going back to court and showing, look, I have a document. And the levy is also not going to hold on to it, because he's afraid it might get back to the malva, to the loaner. So therefore, it's not considered something that's chashim. And therefore, Rabban say, therefore, you putter on a itzah of a paid up document. However, Yehuda held that it's permitted to hold on to a paid up document. And therefore, when the malva, when the loaner goes ahead and transports this document on Shabbos, he's going to be liable because he needs it, because he could still use it for wrapping around a flask of balsam oil, and therefore it's considered something that's still usable, and that's why Yechayef Haitzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds that there is no Isser for the malva to hold on to it on Shabbos. And therefore, their machlikas is really disgusting regarding the malva that would hold on to it versus the Rabban, the hold that you cannot hold on to it. Second shot the Gemara brings is what the machlokes is. Abaye Amar de Kuli Alma Aser L'Shatapur. Everyone agrees it's forbidden to hold on to a paid up document. So therefore, what's the machlokes? L'chayre, the Malva can't hold on to it. Leva would not want to hold on to it. So why Rabbi Yehuda hold that you chayv? So he says he interprets it differently. Here, what they're arguing about hinges on the concept of about a document that the Leva, the one who borrowed the money, agrees that it was written. The question is if it has to be then confirmed either by the one who borrowed, by the borrower, or with different signatures. That is regarding this halacha that the borrower that agrees that it was written, he agrees that this is true. The question is if he has to go ahead and then be mekayimet and says, hey, it, not only was it written, but I didn't pay it up. But however, as long as he doesn't say it, it's not a shtar. And that is if you don't find witnesses to go ahead and to validate and show that this is a true and valid document. So who's going to say that this is a shtar? Who's saying that this is real, that this is true? How do we know that these are real witnesses that signed on the document that this ever happened? It's only the leiva, the borrower, that he says, I said that we read it, that we wrote it, and I agree. But then the leiva himself is also the one that's validating it. He's also the one that's negating it, says, but I paid it. And that's the concept that in halacha that's called hapesha asu, hapesha ita. The mouth that said that it's forbidden, in other words, that said that it's bad for him, that's, yes, it's a true document, but that's the same mouth that said that it's permitted, that says, I know, but I paid it up already. And therefore, when it says, when we said that mishapari, that when it paid up, that meant to say, when he says that I paid up, then you pater, because then you don't need it anymore, because it's not worth anything, because until it's mikuyim, which the leiv is not doing, because he's saying that he paid up already, it's not worth anything. And therefore, as the Gemara says, Tanakama Saber, Ma'id B'Shtasha Kasa Tzorach Lekamet. Tanakama held that when a borrower agrees to this document that it was written, but that you still need to have to be Mekayimet and say that it's valid, he has to say that these are true signatures. So therefore, and if he doesn't, then you need Edim to do that. And therefore, up until that is done, it's like a regular piece of paper. It can't be used to go ahead and take the money from him in court, because although he agreed to it, but however, now he has to go ahead and say that it's a true document, and therefore if he says I paid it, we only rely on his testimony, so it's not going to be able to be used against him. Therefore it's not considered significant for itzah. Rabbi Yehuda said that no, ma'id b'shtasha kasa ein tzorach l'kayim. If the loiva agrees that it was written, then we don't need him to validate the signatures to show that it's real. And therefore, since the loiva agreed that it was written with it and that he borrowed with it, so it's as if we already validated and confirmed the signatures, and therefore now the malva could go ahead and use it to get the money as long as he wants to. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds he's going to be chai for his etzah, even though the loiva says that I pay, even though he says I paid already, doesn't make a difference because I have the document, you don't have it, and you agree that it was written, so it's like a full-fledged document. We don't need you to be mekayimet and to say that these are our full-fledged signatures and that it's a true and kosher document. And therefore, that's what Rebbe says, that it's going to be valid. And the Gemara explains what we just said in the interpretation of Abaye, my actually part, or Mishapar. What does it mean that we said, that the Tanakhama said, for example, that if you're taking out the loan document, that up until it's paid, you're liable, but if it's paid, you're potter. It means, and we continue on the top of Ayin Tesem and Aleph, Atshayim Leiva Parati B'Lei Parati. It means up until when the borrower says that I paid or that I didn't pay. In other words, that until he says that I paid, so then he's going to be liable because, again, he confirmed it and he didn't undo it with the Pesha Issa Pesha Hitter because he didn't say that I paid him. So therefore, it's a full-fledged document. However, when he says that I paid, then you're going to say, then it's going to be potter because he annulled the document because that's Pesha Asa. He confirmed, he validated, now he undid it by saying that I paid already. That's what it means, that a paid up document or unpaid document. It doesn't mean that it's literally paid or unpaid. It means that he claims that it's paid or unpaid. So if he didn't claim that it's paid, so then it's going to be chai for itzah, even according to Rabbanan, because it can be used as a document. However, the machlokes between Yehuda and Rabbanan was in the case of when he claim that it's paid already. That's what it means. It's a shtar perua. That according to Rabbanan, it's not chayefa itzah because it's worthless the paper because since he's the one that made the document, now he undid it by saying that it's paid. and therefore you're not chayev for the tzoh once he claims that it's paid. But Rabbi Yehuda says that no, you're going to be chayev because he holds that no, once he validates it, we don't need him anymore to validate it anymore. And even if he says he paid, it doesn't make a difference, and therefore you're going to be chayev for tzoh because it's still a kosher shtar, and therefore obviously some chashev the chayev for tzoh on Shabbos. The third pshat the Gemara brings is Rav Amar, the kule alma moed b'shtar shekasa shetachlekam. No, that everybody agrees that a document that the borrower agreed that it was written, that you have to confirm it with him. And here what we're talking about literally if it was paid up or if it wasn't paid up. And we're talking about a shtar that, as we said, that's mekuyim, that it's confirmed already. And according to everybody, you can't hold on to a document that's paid up. So what's the machlokes? V'hacha b'kais min shevik kemifkei. Here we're talking about if you write a receipt for the borrower or not. And that is, Tanakama Sava Kaisen Shaiva. Tanakama holds that you do write a receipt. And that is what we said from when the borrower paid up, and now the borrower has a receipt. So now when the Malva, when the loaner goes in and takes out this document of Shabbos, he's going to be potter because he doesn't need it anymore to return it to the borrower. And if you're going to say that the loaner could use it to wrap around his flask, and that's why he would have to return it to the loaver because rightfully it's the borrower's, the loaver is not going to hold on to it because he doesn't want to get back into the hand of the malva. And he's going to use it again to be taveya for him. And even if the malva, the loaner, doesn't return it to him, still the borrower is not bothered by that because the malva wrote for the loaver a receipt. And therefore, again, the malva is not allowed to hold on to it because we said that a shtar perua, it's also to hold on to it because it could be used for improper purposes because let's say even though the borrower has a receipt, but he might lose the receipt. So therefore, he's not allowed to hold on to it. So he has to return it to him. So therefore, just from the fact that he has to return it to him, it should be considered something chashev because he's responsible to return it to him. However, he says no because since he has a receipt, it doesn't bother him so much if he doesn't return the document to him because he has a way of proving himself. And therefore, it's not considered something chashev to be chayev for itzah on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Savar in case of Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't write a document, you don't write a receipt, and that is so. Therefore, he still needs the malva still needs the loaner needs the document because he has to return it to the borrower. And if he doesn't return it to him, so then he might still go back and be tovei and take and mourn from him what he paid him already because it's not enough with a receipt. According to Rabbi Yehuda, because the receipt is something that it's a liability now of the borrower, that he has to make sure that he always has it. Because if something happens to it, if he has a fire or a mice eat it or whatever it is, then the mouth of the loaner could go ahead and now say, oh, you owe me the money and you have no receipt. So therefore, since according to Rabbi Yehuda that we don't write receipts, so therefore now the loan document has chashivas because now this is something that he has to return to the leiva because not like Rabban holds that I don't care if I don't get it back because I have a receipt because according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't write a receipt. So therefore, it is considered chashiv even after it's paid. And therefore, since he has to return it, now if he goes out and takes it on Shabbos, it's going to be considered a chashev haitzah and you'll be liable for haitzah on Shabbos. The fourth and final pshat, which is similar to the pshat we said in the previous discussion, Rav Ashi says, and that is Rav Ashi says that the machloikis is not, as we said, regarding the malva. Up until now, we were talking about the malva is considered something chashev. We're talking about when the loiva takes it out. Why would he need it? Because we said definitely he's not going to use it to cover his flask because for that purpose, he's not going to hold on to it because maybe it might end up in the hands of the malva. So why would he hold on to it? Why would we say that it's talking about the loiva? And that Rav Ashi says the loiva would hold on to it, but not because to cover a flask. With something so mundane and something so tiny, he wouldn't hold on to it because of the probability that it might fall into the hands of the malva. Rather, the reason why Rav Yehuda holds that is chashav, that the loiva would hold on to it, because he wants to show it to a second creditor. And he wants to say, look, I'm someone that pays up my debts. He wants to show everyone else to show, look, I'm trustworthy. You can loan me that money because look at all these people I paid up. I paid up on time. And therefore, that's why he would hold on to his receipts. That's why according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be considered chashev, even for the loiva, to be chayv for him haitzah, because although normally all the other pshat in the Gemara we said that it's not the loiva, it's the malva, and for different reasons, either to have to return to the loiva, or for different reasons, there's no isra in holding on to it. Here we're talking about the loiva would hold on to it, because he wants to show people, look, I'm trustworthy, I pay up, look at all these receipts, and that's why it's considered chashev, even after it's paid up already, because again, he wants to show it to the other creditors.